ended. There's just a couple things I want to say about that 70 weeks. In fact, just start there. Go to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel gets the vision that it's not just 70 years of captivity, but 70 weeks of time are determined upon the nation of Israel, as it says in Daniel 9:24. It says 70 weeks, and we showed last week how weeks can refer to a seven-year period of time. And you can go back to Genesis, was it 29, that 29 verse 27 that tells you that. And so when he says 70 weeks, that's 77 years of time. So 70 times 7 is 490 years. And that's one of the things I wanted to go back over with you. Anyhow, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. So it's upon the people and the city. That's the other thing I want you to make sure you always remember. And then there's six things that are going to be accomplished. To finish the transgression, they're not going to go to idolatry anymore. To make an end of sins, that Israel's not going to, they're going to, God's going to fulfill the new covenant, take the stony heart out. It says, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, they're going to be united with God. To bring in everlasting righteousness, so not only takes the stony heart away, he gives them his righteousness that's everlasting. To seal up the vision and prophecy, everything that's been promised to Israel is going to come to its fulfillment. And to anoint the most holy, Jesus Christ is going to come back and be crowned king. All that's going to happen in 490 years. Now, there's two things I wanted to tell you about that. The first is that one of the ways that you know the 490 years, I showed you in Genesis how weeks can mean 7 years period of time. So 77 years of period of time equals 70 sevens is 490 years. And the other way that that's known is if you follow how the fulfillment of this took place. Verse 25, it says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince. Now, he's going to be anointed the king, but until he's Messiah the Prince, to you know who your prince is, the Messiah the Prince, is going to be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the walls even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, so there's going to be a 7 week period of time, which is 49 years, and a 62 week period of time, 434 years. So that's a total of 483 years. It's after the 62 weeks, it says this. It says, and after 62 weeks, the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. So the Messiah being cut off, we saw last week how when Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem to present himself as the son of David to be their king, he was rejected and they crucified him. That's 1 week different between Palm Sunday and the crucifixion. So until Messiah the Prince, there's 483 years from the time the commandment was made. That commandment in Nehemiah that we studied last year is in 445, at least that's what Usher puts in there, B.C. The Bible doesn't say that. But from that time the commandment was made in Nehemiah to rebuild the city until Messiah the Prince is 483 years. And we said that that was fulfilled. So that's a total of 7 weeks and 62. That's 69 weeks. But he said 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. So there's one more week. And so the middle of verse 26 says, it says, I'm looking for the part in the middle of verse 26, and the people of the prince that shall come, so there's a different prince that's going to come, but the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end there shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined, and he, that prince that shall come, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. That's the 70th week. There's 1 week, that's 7 years long. And then it says, and he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out on the desolate. Now, that verse 27 is all about the coming of the Antichrist and how he's going to have, there's going to be a sacrifice at the beginning. In the middle of it, he's going to stop the sacrifice and spread an abomination. And that is that he is the Messiah, that he is the Christ. And then that determinant is going to be poured out. Jesus Christ is going to come back and judge all those who follow the Antichrist and then set up his kingdom. And that's when verse 24 is all going to be fulfilled. Everything there is going to be fulfilled at the second coming of Christ. So that we said a few things. You can see that after the 490 years, there's a gap of time. It's been 2,000 years. The 70th week of Daniel, that last 7 years, is still future to our day, which shows you there's been an interruption in the prophecy of the nation of Israel. A couple leftover things that just would cause you to question. We talked about trying to figure out the 490 years. Well, if that's 445 BC, and you know you're counting backwards on BC, working your way down to 1, it never does go to 0, by the way, at least that's how I understand that. But anyhow, you know that's 445 years, and until Messiah the Prince is 483 years, and if you subtract that, what does that come out to? 38 years. But Jesus Christ actually, it was like, we would think 33, 32 AD, and so you're off some 5 years there. Well, that's when you get into our timetable. We have leap years. And that's where Sir Robert Anderson, rather than trying to figure it out by years, he actually figured out days, because in Bible days, there's 360 days in a year. If you figure out leap years, there's every leap year you get an extra day. If the year ends in zero, you don't get one that year. So anyhow, it's a whole confusing thing to calculate. All you can see is it's real close. And if you want to get into the calendar, you can actually narrow it down like Sir Robert Anderson did. And he said it's exactly to the day. Now that would tell the Jewish people way back from the Old Testament times how to look for their Messiah. Now they would know from what we read in Luke 19 that they should have known who Jesus Christ was when he rode into Jerusalem. Not only because he rode on the donkey fulfilling Zechariah, but it was in the perfect timing that Daniel gave them the timetable of. If they knew that he was going to come in and present himself as Messiah the Prince, and being a prophet, priest, and a king, he had to be at least 30 years old to be a priest. And so then, if he's going to come in at this time, then 30 years before this time, they should be looking for him to be born. So that's within, you know, that's how they could have determined the birth of Christ. But all that was laid out in prophecy, and I wanted to let you know how you can calculate that, or how that's done, calculating it by days. And then, to know that 70 weeks, that a week is a 7-year period of time, all you got to do is read Revelation 11, 12, 13. Because in Revelation 13, it describes this time as being the middle of it, as being 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. It's called 42 months, 3.5 years. From the time that abomination is set up until the end is 42 months, 1,260 days, and so forth, which shows you that the last week is indeed a 7-year period of time. So if 1 week equals 7 years, well then, now you proved again, 70 years is 490 years. So I just wanted to fill you in on some details that we didn't get to last time. Any questions about this before I move on? Because there's something else that's interesting to me. I've shared it with you before. And that is that there is actually, and that's why I passed this out. I think we taught it when we taught the covenants, and Roy went home and made this little chart. I don't think we've ever passed it out before. If we did, you got a second? We have? The exact one? Oh, okay. The reason I passed that out, I wasn't sure I was going to be able to put the board up here. And you notice that there's four periods of 490 years. And just for the fun of it, and plus to show a couple things that we didn't show back in Genesis, I want to show you how I can prove that. I can prove it, the last two, to be an absolute fact. The first two 490 years, I can show you plus or minus just a few years. And the point is, come to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, in verse 21. This is, you probably recall this question. Verse 21, it says, Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And, you know, seven's the number of perfection, so Peter, pretty wise in picking that number. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And there's your 490 years again. But 70 times seven, he's not actually talking number of years there, he's talking about the number of times you should forgive. But that's interesting because in Daniel's prophecy, to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to anoint the most holy, Israel, this the new covenant, they're totally going to be forgiven their sins in a 490 year period of time. So that 490 years is a significant number in the Bible. Now let's go all the way back, because we've been studying, actually looking at prophecies, but it's been taking us through the Bible that took us all the way to studying the five courses of judgment and all the way to Daniel, and there's still more things to show you in Daniel. But go all the way back to Genesis chapter 15. And all I expect to get done today, if I can get done today, is that first set of 490 years. Now Abraham, this is where he is trying to figure out how he's going to have a child, because it's been some years since God promised him. I think it's been 10 years. And he still hasn't had the child that God promised him, so he's still childless. And yet God reaffirms to him that he's going to have a child. Abraham believed God. It's counted to him for righteousness. And then God makes, he not only promised him, now he's going to confirm it with an oath to Abraham. That's where in Hebrews it says, by two immutable things, that it's impossible for God to lie. He promised it, so therefore it's going to happen. But then he swears to Abraham that he's going to have this child. And in talking to Abraham, he gives him this revelation. In verse 13, it says, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and shall afflict them 400 years. Also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards they shall come out with great substance. And so you got this prophecy where you understand that they're going to go down into Egypt. God's going to multiply the nation of Israel in Egypt, and then God's going to bring them out with great substance. But he gives them that understanding that there's going to be this 400-year period of time before they come out of that bondage in Egypt. Well, come over to Exodus. Chapter 12. And this is the chapter where they have the last plague, the Passover plague, and they're told to leave, ordered out of Egypt, and they make their exodus out of Egypt. And then verse 40, it says this. It says, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. So God told Abraham it'd be 400 years. And then when we come to the Exodus, it says it was 430 years. Okay, first of all, we got to deal with that 430 years. Now, there is a little bit of difference. When you read about Abraham, it's that they're going to be dealt with by, it didn't actually say Egypt, it just said be in the land of strangers for 400 years, and then they're going to be in servitude, and then they're going to come out after 400 years. When you get to Exodus, it uses the word sojourn in verse 40. Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. Now, if you read the book of like Hebrews and all, Abraham himself was a sojourner in the land. And that's an important part. Before I talk about Abraham, look down in verse, I had you already leave verse chapter 15, didn't I? Didn't show you a verse there. Quickly back to Genesis 15. Genesis 15, not only does verse 13 say that they're going to be there, they're going to serve other nations for 400 years, but verse 16 says, but in the fourth generation they shall come forth hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So in the fourth generation they're going to come back. It's going to be 400 years, and in the fourth generation they're going to come out of that land that they're going to go into slavery. Well, so keep that in mind, because that's going to be an important part to this. When we read that in Exodus 12, they're sojourning 430 years. Are you still got in Genesis there? Flip back to chapter 12 of Genesis, where you're first introduced to Abraham, and something really important is said right there in the very first verse. It says in verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father unto a land that I will show thee. Notice it's past tense. You start out that God had already told Abraham to leave his land. That is the land of the Ur of the Chaldees. Down in verse 4 it says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now he first left Ur of the Chaldees. That's where Abraham was from. Haran is that place just a little bit west, a little bit east, and a little bit north of like Syria, and then down into the land, the promised land, the land of Canaan. And that's where his brother lived. When you pick up in Genesis 12, he's already left Ur of the Chaldees. And when it says he had said, a verse that you might write down, just for time's sake, I don't think we have time to turn there, is when Stephen was going over the history of the nation of Israel. He takes Abraham all the way back to Ur of the Chaldees when God first said that to him. And in Acts chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, he talks about God made this statement that you're reading in Genesis 12:1 to Abraham when he was at Ur of the Chaldees. That's why Genesis 12 said he had said. Because what he's doing, Abraham left Ur, went to Haran, never did come to the promised land. And then when his father died, then God said, okay, leave now your brother's place and come down to the promised land. And now Abraham's already 75 years old. I say that to you because Abraham became a sojourner when he first left Ur of the Chaldees. When he was in Haran, he's already a sojourner. He's a man without a land. Then he's going to come down to the land of Canaan, and he's going to sojourn there. He makes some trips to Egypt and back there. But his life, he's a sojourner ever since God called him. And the difference between the 400 years and the 430 years is 30 years before Genesis 12, Abraham already left Ur of the Chaldees. So that he is a sojourner for 430 years until the Exodus takes place. So at least that's how I understand the difference between the 400 years and the 430 years. Now, what most people think is that when they went down into Egypt, that they actually spent 400 years in Egypt. And that's not the timing of those numbers. And I can show it to you this way. Remember the promise that in the fourth generation they were going to come out of the land? Come over to Exodus chapter... go back to chapter 6. Yeah, that's where it's at. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. There, Jacob has 12 kids. This part, hopefully you know, Abraham finally has Isaac. Isaac has Jacob. Jacob's name gets changed to Israel. He has four kids. 12 kids. I'm glad I got you out there. Chapter 6, verse 16. It said, these are the names of the sons of Levi. Well, one of these sons that Jacob had, let's put him just right here. Jacob, one of his sons is Levi, and now we're tracing the descendants of Levi. It says, the names of the sons of Levi, according to their generations, Gershon, Kohath, Merari, and the years of the life of Levi were 137 years. So it names three of his sons. Here's why I said four a moment ago. Let's get the names in there. Was it Ger or something? Kohath? I'll just make it real short because I can't spell. Okay. Just for time's sake, I put abbreviation for the name. So there's the three sons that Levi had. And I threw a sister in there because it usually doesn't name the sister, the women, but they did have at least one sister, and I'll show you that in a moment. If you keep reading, it says, it goes to the sons of Gershon, but go to verse 18. The sons of Kohath is Amram, right? Did I spell that right? The sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. The years of the life of Kohath were 133 years. And then it goes, the sons of Merari, but if you go to verse 20, the son, and Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife. So his father, sister, Amram married his aunt. So he marries his father's sister, and then it goes on to say this, his father's sister, and she bare unto him Aaron and Moses. The years of the life of Amram were 137 years. So Amram has Moses. So remember when they went into the land of Egypt? Levi is one of the ones that went into the land of Egypt, right? When he was in Egypt, he has his sons and some daughters. Kohath then is born in that land. Amram is born in that land, and Amram gives birth to Moses, and Moses takes him out of the land. In fact, Moses is 80 years old when he takes him out of that land. So that when you look at when it said, remember it said in the fourth generation? Well, it depends on which one. If you say we started with Levi, then you would have one generation, two generations. Oh, no, Jacob was the first to go in the land. If you start with Jacob, you got one generation, two generations, three generations, fourth generation, Moses comes out of the land. If you say you start with Levi, then it's one generation, two generations, three generations, four generations. So whether you start it with Jacob because he went into the land, or the first one born, no, Levi was even went into the land. But anyhow, you get the four generations one way or the other, which tells you that that 400 years, you're not just starting with Jacob 400 years in that land. You're actually going all the way back to that sojourning of Abraham. So the other part of that is if Abraham sojourned for 430 years until the Exodus took place, come to Joshua chapter 5. Yep. Oh, yeah, his seed, right. Including him. Yeah, right. He didn't live that long. You're right. Joshua chapter 5 and just verse 6. I think you already know all this, but I just thought I'd throw it out. It says in verse 6, it says, and the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till the people that were men of war came out of Egypt and were consumed because they obeyed not the voice and so forth. The point is there's 430 years to the Exodus, then there's 40 years in the wilderness, right? So now that you're up to 470 years, and then they come to Joshua and they enter into the land. Look over in chapter 13. It says in verse 1, now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. So they haven't conquered all the land yet when you come to Joshua chapter 13. Do you know the incident that takes place in Joshua chapter 14? Where Caleb, he wants to have a certain portion of land, and he goes through about the promise that was made unto him. Remember, they wandered for 40 years, but 2 years brought them to Kadesh Barnea, and then they sent the spies in. Only 2 spies came back with a good report, Joshua and Caleb. And so because they came back with a good report, they were allowed to enter in the land under Joshua, and of course Caleb entered the land. And Caleb's made a promise, but they actually wandered 38 years after the spies went in. That, I don't know if that's real important to you right now, but anyhow, Caleb is talking, and he says in verse 7, he said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me into Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, and as it was in my heart. So he's promised, he comes back, and so he was 40 years old when he went into Kadesh Barnea. Remember, they wandered 38 more years after that. But when you get down to verse 10, it says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he hath said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake the word unto Moses. So it's been 45 years later. So it's that 38, and then there's another 7 years after the 38 that they've already been in the land. And it says, since the Lord spake the word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now I am this day 85 years old. So he's 85 years old. I say that because I can't find the age of Joshua, but I can find the age of Caleb. And I know that by the time that you read verse 13, where Joshua is stricken in years, and they still have to possess the land, chapter 14, Caleb is asking for a special inheritance. And he says, give me this mountain. And he said, and Joshua says, you conquered, it's yours. And so he goes and conquers the mountain. So the point is, they're 7 years in the land. They're still fighting to possess the land. Come over to chapter 23. And what they do is they keep conquering the land until you get to this point. It says, and it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto the children of unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. So now he's even older, but now they have rest. They've conquered the land. They didn't have it conquered before. And then Joshua dies. If you get over to chapter 24 and verse 29, it says, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. But I don't know how old he was when he conquered the land. We're right at the end. I guess we can't hear a bell out there. My point is this is until they wandered in the wilderness that 40 years, and then they conquered the land. And say it took them 20 years to conquer the land. If you look at Usher, it took them 17 years, so you're close. That's why I said give or take a few years. 430, and 40, and 20. Yep, 490 years is that from the time God promised Abraham the land until they had the land is a period of 490 years, give or take, and not an exact science, but pretty close. So I wanted to show you that because that 490 years stands out. And I'll show you the other two next week. And it's Sunday school, so you look at things like that in Sunday school. Let's pray and the donuts will be ready. Our God and our Father, we thank you for the class today, and we do pray that if anything, it drives us to study the Bible and look for the details that you give us in your book. And then, Father, help us to understand, again, your program for Israel and appreciate the mystery of the age of grace that we live in. Bless the fellowship time that follows as we enjoy each other's company and prepare for the next service to follow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.